The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the producers and or the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily shared by the station or by any members of the Democrat National Committee.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
It is time for us to realize that we're too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams.
I have a dream that one day, yes, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed.
ROCK in the USA, ROCK in the USA, ROCK in the USA, yeah, yeah. Rockin' in the USA.
This is American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr with Lewis Sar Avalone.
You know, everything is so much nicer when we're just honest with one another, when we trust one another, and we know that.
Right.
You know that in your heart, that someone is being genuine with you. So this past week, for example, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, she rightly referred to the situation on the southern border as a crisis on the border, and then she quickly walked that back after reporters asked her if her comments that it was a crisis on the border represented some sort of change in the Biden administration's view of this deluge of migrants at the border.
Because the Biden administration has been adamant.
Stubborn.
This is not a crisis. There's nothing to see here.
Absolutely.
Just move along. The kids aren't in cages. This is just a day camp, and all we've done is we've put up metal bars as curtains. That's all.
No, the Biden administration has stubbornly resisted labeling the southern border situation as a crisis, even as the number of border crossings reach its highest number in 20 years. And ironically, they deployed the Federal Emergency Management Agency,
right,
FEMA, to the border as well.
Why would you deploy the Federal Emergency Management Agency if there wasn't an emergency that needed to be managed?
So Psaki referred to it as a crisis. They asked her the question, are you're saying now it's a crisis?
It's a crisis now, okay.
So she recovered by stating that what she meant was that there were challenges on the border, not a crisis. And I say,
I'm so sorry, but for a moment there, I was accidentally honest with you. What I was trying to say was that there's a challenge.
Exactly. So, Ms. Psaki, let me just speak to you directly, if I might. That is not a challenge, not in the least. You know, a challenge is like when President Kennedy told Congress in 1961, I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
That sounds like a challenge.
Now, Ms. Psaki, let me explain. A challenge was the 155,000 Allied troops who successfully stormed and held Normandy beaches in 1944 against heavily fortified German forces.
I would say that was a challenge, a significant challenge.
That was a challenge.
That challenge had lots of crises in it that had to be managed.
That was a challenge. Ms. Psaki, let me explain to you what a real challenge is. It's when our police officers leave their families each day to patrol our streets, not knowing if the next traffic stop or domestic dispute call will be their last, especially since the number of officers who have died in the line of duty has jumped nearly 60% last year, and the number of officers shot has risen 30% from the year before that.
Okay.
So what she's referring to as a challenge isn't that at all. You know what another challenge is? It's a mother or father who has lost their job in the oil field or in the factory that is closed and moved those jobs offshore and whose livelihood was not deemed essential enough this past year. And now they're desperately trying to figure out how to put food on the table for their family and a roof over their heads.
Well, and I can see how families would see that as a crisis for their family, a crisis that's caused by the state government that locked them out of their business. I could see that.
But it's a challenge in trying to overcome what is arguably something of not of your doing. It wasn't your decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, a mother or father, for so many Americans, they could only see their mother or father through a nursing home window.
Right.
For months on end,
right,
unable to relieve their mother or father's isolation or watching them, worse yet, watching them slip away forever,
right,
while the bureaucrats debate the science and spend only pennies of the so-called $1 trillion relief bill on those who need the help the most. You see, and this is what, I don't know if it's a lack of perspective of this White House, but this isn't a challenge, what is going on at the border. This is a crisis. See, a challenge is wanting to understand how the Biden administration has authorized the release of billions of dollars to Iran.
That's challenging.
Which is the largest state sponsor of terrorism, while there are tens upon thousands of our own veterans who are homeless.
And by the way, every dollar we gave to Iran, that was deficit spent. So not only are we going to have to pay that out in future generations, we're going to have to pay interest on the money we gave to Iran.
So here's another challenge. Comprehending how this country feigns outrage at the notion of placing children in cages at the southern border.
When Trump's president.
And rightly abhors such inhumane treatment. Yet they remain silent on those politicians who are actually encouraging more and more children, younger and younger, to embark upon a journey from around the world to our southern border alongside drug dealers, drug cartels, human traffickers, sexual predators. So you're really concerned about the inhumane treatment of putting these children in so-called cages, but you're perfectly fine, as this administration has broadcast all around the world, to tell parents that if you send your 10-year-old child to the border, they will not be turned away.
See, this is why I say we're living in Animal Farm.
It's ridiculous.
Because in Animal Farm, written by George Orwell, when the people at the beginning, the farmers, the human farmers at the beginning of the book were doing something, whatever they were doing was wrong. But at the end of the book, when the pig farmers are doing, the pigs are doing what the humans were doing at the beginning, it's perfectly fine. When Trump did it, it was awful. When Joe Biden does it, it's perfectly normal. It's not a crisis. It's a challenge.
Yes. So she calls it a challenge. I could not disagree more. This is not a challenge. You see, a challenge is something that makes you better. Let me ask you something. The crisis at the border, is it making our country better?
Not in any way, shape, or form.
Is it helping those children that are traveling for literally hundreds of miles alone?
No, because you're putting their lives at risk. And there are kids that are dying alone in the desert.
So a challenge is something that makes you better. That, you know, for example, it's something that maybe pushes you to take the road less traveled. It's something that pushes you to achieve something more than you had hoped for. It's not a challenge, Ms. Psaki, to invite lawlessness and disease, which is what this administration has done at the southern border. It's not a challenge when you have complete control over the outcome and there's just mayhem.
You know, I learned a new word today, and I think it applies here. You want to hear the new word?
What's that?
Verbicide. I didn't realize this was a new real word. Verbicide.
Okay.
What it means is you change the meaning of a word to mean something it wasn't intended to mean. This is what Jen Psaki does. This is what a lot of Democrats do. A lot of people on the left, they commit verbicide on a regular basis.
Wait a minute.
Change the meaning of a word.
Okay, so
to something it wasn't supposed
to
mean.
So you're combining two words with homicide. You're like a verbicide.
Yes.
Is taking a verb.
You're murdering a word. Basically what you do. By Jen Psaki saying this isn't a crisis, this is a challenge, she's committing verbicide.
But we say on the show all the time, words have meaning.
Exactly.
And there should be no debate of whether or not this crisis at the border is outside the control of our government. It's not.
Right.
It's in complete control. It's like our lives. We are ridiculously in charge of our lives for the results, the consequences, the good and the bad.
But only if we acknowledge it. When we fail to acknowledge that we're in control of our lives, we cede that control to someone else.
No, the inhumanity of what is happening at our border is because we are incentivizing it. That's the bottom line.
Let's get to the top three things you need to know before tomorrow. Well, Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards will not be recalled. A recall effort started last August, failed to get enough signatures by the deadline. The recall petition needed to get 620,000 signatures to force a recall election, but at final count, there are only 26,679 signatures, or about 1% of the state's registered voters.
You know, when the word recall makes headlines, it's usually in the removal of a defective product.
Right.
I think a lot of folks feel like their elected officials are defective.
But I'll
products.
Tell you what, this recall effort was defective too, because I asked them to come on this show and talk about it, and they did not ever respond to me. If you're going to take a shot at the king, you better not miss. That means you got to put everything into it. They did not, and I can prove they didn't, because they didn't come on this show. Second thing you need to know before tomorrow, the Arkansas legislature has passed a bill that would allow physicians not to perform procedures that conflict with their morals or faith. The bill sailed through the Senate on a 25-6 vote and only applies to non-emergency treatments. Opponents, including the Chamber of Commerce, says the bill encourages discrimination against people who identify as LGBTQ, but Republicans say our health system can't afford to drive away good medical professionals because of their faith. The bill now heads to Governor Asa Hutchinson, who has not said whether or not he will sign the bill.
Well, if he does sign the bill, and if Congress, in fact, signs the Equality Act that is making its way through the halls of Congress right now, those two will be in conflict
with
one another, because the Equality Act does strip health professionals of the right to act in their consistently with their own moral convictions.
Third thing you need to know before tomorrow, the Texas Attorney General has sued a hotel in San Antonio for price gouging during last month's ice storm. Attorney General Ken Paxton says several families reported that the La Quinta San Antonio Brook City base raised their rates during the emergency. One family says their rates went up from $65 a night to $189 a night. Another family says their rates went from $74 a night to $199 a night. La Quinta says they simply increased their prices as hotel rooms filled up, which is their standard practice across the country.
Yeah, but you got to be careful, because there's a law in Texas about increasing prices for essentials. It's not just lodging, but selling fuel, food, medicine, building materials.
How about electricity?
Oh, well, let's not even get into that one.
Because there was some price gouging going
on
there by the federal government. We'll be right back with the mama. Stick around.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Ronald Reagan once asked, are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in the long history of the world? Well, that's why we made this CD. Freedom Sings is a collection of songs from America's history. Each one tells a story from our founding up till today. Not only do we include classics like America the Beautiful and This Land is Your Land, but we also tell the stories behind the songs, who wrote them and why, and what they mean to everyday Americans when they first heard these patriotic tunes.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
If you want your kids to know what America represents in the long history of the world, then you need to get Freedom Sings. Just look for it in the iTunes store and download it for your computer or mobile device. Get Freedom Sings for your kids and keep liberty marching on for the next generation.
The Conservative Kid Growth Kit, a fun, patriotic adventure for children ages 5 and up. Journey back to America with the entire family with the Growth Kit travel suitcase, including presidential tumbler, a Teddy Roosevelt teddy bear, and exclusive Founding Fathers flashcards that introduce the words of the Founding Fathers. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit is the perfect gift. Fun, educational, and endless activities. Preserve our freedoms for the next generation. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit at conservativekid.com.
Maybe it was that fourth grade teacher who believed in you. Or the big-eyed girl who smiled when you were the new kid. Maybe it was watching your child as she took her first steps. Those aha moments in life when everything seemed to come into focus. Those are the bright spots that lift us up when we're feeling down and show us a path from the ordinary to the extraordinary. America's history is filled with bright spots, too. The greatness of America is that it allows each of us to see the greatness within ourselves. That is how America became great. One dream, one bright spot at a time.
Bright Spots Big Country, What Makes America Great by Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and brightspotsbigcountry.com.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense.
Winston Churchill's immortal words stirred an entire country in the face of certain defeat. Today, these words give each of us the courage to reach for our own victories.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never.
Commitment. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
If you say what you want to say and let the words fall out, honestly, I want to see you be brave.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Parr with Louis R. Avalone.
Earlier, I mentioned ABC made a breaking news about, which was news for them, that there was mayhem at the border.
Mayhem.
They said that there was a growing discontent within the Democrat ranks.
Mm.
And now ABC News is finally, after all of this time, reporting on a rigged election story.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding.
What?
This is...
Are these QAnon conspiracy theorists taking over ABC?
Well, it's been a while. I know that the mainstream media refused to cover many of these stories, but
yes.
ABC apparently, this is a breaking story that they just reported on, and it's about a rigged election for a homecoming queen in Florida. So, yeah. Well, what were you expecting? What did you think I was talking about?
I was thinking maybe they were talking about the case in Michigan where the court ruled the Secretary of State violated the law by expanding absentee voting last November. That was a ruling that came down earlier this week, and I don't think they reported
Stephen,
on it.
Stephen, who has time to report a story like that when you have breaking news here about a homecoming queen contest that was fraudulently won by a mother and daughter who nefariously stuffed the ballot box.
How'd they stuff the ballot box?
But you know, there are...
Did they get the Secretary of State involved and say you could have absentee voting?
Possibly. But no, in all seriously, there are more and more stories.
There are.
And not by ABC News, but certainly throughout the country.
We've covered
local news reporting agencies, local television stations.
We've covered at least one a week for the last 4 weeks here on this show.
About voter fraud.
In different states.
Voter integrity issues, et cetera. And now there's a poll out that says 75% of Americans support voter ID laws, which of course Democrats are determined to eliminate.
You're right. You have to have driver ID laws. Why wouldn't you have voter ID laws? You don't change the whole course of the country just by hopping in your Subaru.
No, and the claim that it disenfranchises minority voters, that in and of itself is racist, in my opinion. Because
I agree.
What you're saying about minority voters is, you know what, they can't keep up with a voter ID card.
Well, Joe Biden did say they don't know how to get online.
See, these are things that no one... Look, when are people going to hold these folks accountable for saying such racist statements? I mean, seriously. And they just get a pass.
Right.
I mean...
They're not gonna question it until it suits their own political purposes. We got a question for our American mamas. Dear mamas, have you seen the disturbing things going on in Virginia? This critical race theory nonsense now has these lefties doxing any parent that disagrees.
Well, yeah, let's ask our American mamas.
Mama, mama.
Mama told me not to come. She said...
And joining us now are American Mamas Terry Netteville and Denise Arthur. This is out of Virginia, and the school district is teaching critical race theory, which is basically white people are bad, especially white males are bad, simply because they have power, and that it all comes down to your importance in society is based upon the color of your skin. And this is being taught by people on the left, and when people on the right go, I don't want my kids to know this, now they've apparently formed a group online where
they shocking. They have their own
shocking.
Club.
Doxers. That's so shocking.
Well, and they're creating a list of everybody in their community that disagrees with critical race theory.
And then
of
what?
Course.
And then what are they going to do? They're going to... They were in their little messages. They were looking for... Does anybody know any hackers? Okay. Girl, the one woman at the school board in Virginia, somebody's already hacked into her head. They've all been hacked. Yes. They've all been hacked. Their brains have been hijacked. Yep. You cannot go around destroying people in your community. And some of the people that they were putting on the list, they weren't even sure, but they did see a reference to some Dr. Seuss stuff on their Facebook page. Do these people have a life? Are you kidding me? This is what we're down to. It's power, Terry. That's what we were just talking about a minute ago. If you have power, you become a nutbag, and you think that you are capable. You've watched way too much ID Channel, way too many sci-fi. You're watching too much stuff, and you think that you have all these powers, and you do not. You are just simply a person. Well, that's, and you need to continue to be just a person.
That is what Steven says all the time. Power brings along brain damage, and they have lost their mind. They have this woman, this crazy, oh my God, what was the girl's, the neighbor's name on Bewitched? The
Kravitz.
One, yes, Kravitz. This Kravitz.
That's what they
lady.
Call me in my neighborhood watch program. Don't be dogging out in Scruff.
Well, she says, I'm losing any hope that remaining civil towards these people changes anything. Avoiding these people isn't enough to stop the spread of their evil rhetoric. Anyone know any hackers?
They're evil. And the they evil must be rhetoric. It's like a bad play.
Yes. You mean the evil rhetoric that we do promote mom and a dad and a family, and we do love our police officers, and we do love our flag and our nation and our military? That evil rhetoric?
Yeah. Are
is that what she's talking
women
about?
Women married to white men? I'm just curious if there's a dad at home.
Well,
I'm
then if
sure
they are,
is.
They're a hypocrite because they hate them all.
Yeah, they
want to silence them all. I'm so turned off by this because I'm thinking, you know, to me, this is like the Mean Girl times 2000. You know, you've got that mean bully at school that she's going to tell you where you can stand, and she can do her head like this and wiggle her little finger like this and tell you what you can do, where you can go, and where you can stick it. And now she's got this platform.
Yeah, she's
an
gathered,
adult now.
She's gathered
her little wokety woke mob people.
When you're angry, girl, it's easy to get other people angry with you.
And
that's what
because
they don't
want to be the target.
Yeah.
They don't want to be the target. I tell you what, if this was in our town, I think there's enough of us that we would have our own, you know, we're not going to fight you. We're just going to combat you by number one, letting you wallow in your own ignorance. And having our own little page on what we're going to do to help bring our groups together, bring our community together
undercover, and have synonyms. You have to have.
I need a hacker.
Yeah,
I need
a hacker. You're going to have
give me names
10
and
names,
numbers.
And you've got to infiltrate. That's what they're telling them.
What are you going
to
do?
We need you to infiltrate these pages. Well, I mean, what are you? Some kind of Inspector Calusa?
It's bizarre.
What is wrong with you people?
Well, she feels
go
powerful
back to
behind
teaching,
the
for
keyboard.
God's sake.
I would love to see her in a group forum with everybody in that community. I would love to see how tough she is when she's not hiding behind her keyboard.
Well,
you know, people
that,
are a lot
well,
tougher
look,
when
I
they're...
Even th- look, I think some of these people are so far over the edge, they don't even care because, you know, now nasty is the new fashion. I mean, girl, it's better than a pair of shoes. I'm just telling you. If you're nasty, you can roll with all the big dogs now because that's just the way it is. But, I mean, all this doxing people, this is people's lives.
Yes.
I mean, they are handing out their names, their addresses, where they work, all the information you need on somebody that might have said
couldn't you
something
file a restraining order? I mean, this sounds
whole,
like assault. It
well,
sounds like abuse.
It
sounds,
can be. It can be like it's a not a mister. It's a like a not a misdemeanor, but it's like a number six down the road.
Yeah,
but, and I think that
if
these
you feel
other
threatened
people might fight back
by this, you know, Kravitz gone crazy. Then you need to, I'd go to my...
I just feel threatened by ignorance these days. That's just about, you know what? I'm so sick of talking about this garbage. It's just
trash.
Every day.
It is trash.
I literally am. I'm so tired of talking about it. I'm going to spend the last 3 seconds we have just talking about this handsome boy, Bowden, that threw out the pitch yesterday at the Tech game.
Yes.
10-year-old on a college mound threw Terry's son a strike right to the glove.
Steele's youngest cousin. He's still on air.
See,
right now.
Be happy about something, people.
Thank you, Denise.
Good gravy.
Lost control of the show right there. If you'd like to ask our American Mamas a question, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/AmericanGuyRadio or facebook.com/AmericanMamas. Terry Nettaville, Denise Arthur, thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we are digging deep. Stick around.
You're listening to American Ground Radio with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
When you need vehicle service or repair, come to Tire World. From oil changes to engine replacements, we've got you covered. Our techs are AAA approved and ASC certified. We sell Michelin, BF Goodrich, and other leading brands. It's our job to keep you on the road.
We are Tire World.
Is your website Americans with Disabilities compliant? Did you know it's the law? Did you know the federal government is beginning to fine companies up to $10,000? And ambulance-chasing lawyers are hunting down websites that aren't ADA compliant, causing massive financial chaos with nasty lawsuits? Defend yourself now. Make your website ADA compliant before it's too late. To get a free website review to see what you need to do to be in compliance with federal disability laws, contact me at 504-669-6076 or jeff@wgso.com. Hey, it's Jeff Cruer for New York Pizza, the oldest pizza parlor in the city, opened by Wayne Del Corral in 1980. They're celebrating 40 years of the best pizza in the city. Their pizza is thin like New York-style pizza, but they use a French-style dough to bring a New Orleans flair that you'll never forget. You've got to try the Snooey Bread, a delicious appetizer on a 5-inch seeded bun with mozzarella, Swiss, sliced Roma tomatoes, and oregano. The Big Apple is my personal favorite. A pizza with pepperoni, bacon, mushrooms, olives, green peppers, Italian sausage, and minced garlic. Unforgettable. Wayne is a New Orleanian, born and raised in the city, Jesuit UNO, and Loyola grad. He operates New York Pizza and the adjacent Bronx Bar with his family. Go check him out at 4416 18 Magazine Street in New Orleans, or call him at 891-2376. And if you mention Ringside Politics or Jeff Cruer, you get a 10% discount. Have you ever wondered if you're drinking too much toxic bottled water? Are you spending too much on it? What if I told you the very best water on the planet is not available in stores? Learn how you can save money and give your body healthy antioxidant water. I'm talking about Kangen water, electrolyzed reduced water. The alkalizing effects of this water are amazing. To set up a demonstration just for you, contact me at jeff@wgso.com or 504-669-6076.
When you need vehicle service or repair, come to Tire World. From oil changes to engine replacements, we've got you covered. Our techs are AAA approved and ASC certified. We sell Michelin, BF Goodrich, and other leading brands. It's our job to keep you on the road.
We are Tire World.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio, Stephen Parr with Louis R. Avalone.
You know, if we lose the Second Amendment, I think the rest are going to fail. They're going to fall, rather.
Well, the First Amendment gives us the right to freedom of speech, freedom of worship. The Second Amendment ensures that the First Amendment is allowed to continue.
Yeah, but you've got those on the left, like Feinstein, Dianne Feinstein from California. Mm-hmm. You've also got, of course, Beto O'Rourke. You know, remember he said on national television, yeah, "Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15."
Right. This is the same guy that live videoed his dental appointment.
It's just anyway. Then you had out of Houston, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee. She offered this radical gun control measure that would create a national database of every gun in the country. And then, of course, under her bill, if you didn't comply with that, it would result in a fine, get this, of $75,000.
$75,000 fine?
A 15-year prison sentence, yes, or both.
And she wants to put at least a third of the country into prison for 15 years.
Failure to comply with registering your guns in a national database.
But do you know how many gun owner is going to fail to register their guns in a national database? The vast majority of them will put up a flag saying, come and take
it.
Wait
a minute. Most of the violent crime that is committed in this country are not by legal gun owners.
They're not.
These are illegal guns that on the street.
We already have laws that say you're not supposed to murder people. Adding gun laws
isn't going to stop people from murdering other people. That's the guns are not the problem. It's the people that are the problem.
There's so many inconsistencies on the left. So basically, we want to round up all the guns because people on the street are basically shooting everyone up.
And we got too many people in prison, so let's put every gun owner in prison.
And so now, get this. So it's so dangerous that Bill de Blasio wants the police department of New York City to go around and basically warn people when they are doing something that might be offensive to others, so that might lead to a crime. So if they maybe they called someone a name, maybe they antagonize someone.
So we now have playground monitors.
That's exactly
badges.
Right. That's what he is proposing in New York City, to have a New York City police officer visit you if you do something that isn't criminal. He acknowledges it's not criminal, but basically it's like having your mom come over and say, you really shouldn't have talked to Billy that way.
Doesn't the left say they don't want the police to harass people as much? They want less police harassment. Bill de Blasio's on the left. He's encouraging police harassment.
And if all these folks have guns in, you know, tucked inside their belt in the small of their back, I mean, how safe is that for police officers to go around and act like mom or dad?
That's ridiculous.
I mean, come on, man.
Let's dig deep.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to step.
The Reagan Foundation just completed their 2021 Reagan National Defense Survey. Here's the good news. The U.S. institution with the highest trust among American people is the United States military. The 56% of Americans say they have trust and confidence in the U.S. military. Just for comparison, law enforcement, only 39% have trust in law enforcement, only 30% in the presidency, 23% in the Supreme Court, 14% trust the news media, and only 10% trust Congress.
You know, I don't know how long that approval rating is going to hold, though. And the reason that I say that is because up until now, most Americans recognize the sacrifice that those in the military gave this country, because they recognize this, that those men and women swore an allegiance to an idea, to this country.
To the Constitution.
And not to any one man or woman. So, and now it seems like that is changing.
See, here's the bad news. I mentioned the good news is they're the most respected. The bad news is trust in the military has fallen sharply over the last few years. In 2018, 70% of Americans trusted the military. In 2019, 63%. Now it's just down to 56%. That's a 14-point drop in about 2.5 years. Now, it's not that people don't think we should have a military. In the same poll, 74% of Americans said we should increase spending on the military. It's just that they're not sure our military is doing what's right these days. Why is that? Well, maybe it's because we've got our military focused on the wrong things, social justice and climate change, rather than preventing or winning wars.
Right. You know, and here's what's ironic is that we still have the largest military budget in the world.
We do.
Here in the United States.
We no longer have the largest Navy in the world.
But yet, since 2014, I mean, our military has continued to shrink.
Right. Now, President Biden just put out his interim national security strategic guidance. All right. This is our strategic guidance. So this is the guidance the president's giving to our national security, including the military, saying, here's how I want you guys to move forward. It mentioned climate change as a national security threat and priority numerous times. It didn't mention the fact that China now has a larger navy than the United States, that China has hypersonic missiles even one time. Actually, this report on national security strategic guidance didn't mention the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Space Force anywhere in the document.
You see, you know, I think if you were to go back, and I know there will be folks who will do this, and you analyze all of the issues or positions that the Obama administration took, and you overlaid them to what is the positions that Biden is taking
they're
now.
They're the exact same.
They're the exact same. Oh, Biden went...
Obama?
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
President Obama went to visit the Coast Guard for their cadet graduation ceremony.
Right, from the Coast Guard Academy.
During his administration. And he said the greatest threat that our country is facing is that of global warming.
It's not, But that's what he said. The greatest threat our country's facing is China. So how's our military currently being used? Well, it's currently being used to keep Americans away from the U.S. Capitol, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
With a fence that is lined with razor wire.
Our military is currently keeping the American people away from the Capitol. In its own war games, it shows that we would lose in a war to China. But instead of trying to figure out how to win a war against China, the new defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, or who Biden calls that guy who runs that place over there.
Hey, I remember that.
Lloyd Austin says the top priority of the military is, quote, and I'm quoting, promoting and protecting the human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex persons around the world. He sent that memo out 2 days ago. That's the top priority for the United States military. It's from March 16th, Monday of this week. Sorry, it wasn't 2 days ago. I guess Tuesday of this week. Now, when Tucker Carlson criticized President Biden's focus on getting flight suits for pregnant women, because I'm not sure how many G's a fetus is supposed to take, but we're going to worry about flight suits for pregnant women, the military went after Carlson in a coordinated press blitz, social media, and press releases. Instead of working to defend America from the rising threat of China, our own military spent the day verbally attacking an American citizen because that American citizen had the outrageous gall to have an opinion that some people in our military don't like. Now, let's go back to the institutions, the list of institutions and trusts. Congress. Only 10% of Americans trust Congress. Why? Who controls Congress? The left. News media. 14% of Americans trust the media. Who controls the media? The woke left. Public schools. Only 21% of Americans trust public schools. Why? Who controls it? The woke left. The military has got to make sure that it stays true to the Constitution and does not give in to this woke ideology. Because as soon as they do, they will lose the trust of the American people. Because even if you start fighting that cultural battle, you're not supposed to be fighting a cultural battle in the military. You're supposed to be preparing for actual battles. But as soon as you start fighting in the cultural battle, you will lose the war for the hearts and minds of the American people.
You know, Reagan said peace through strength.
That's the point.
How much strength do we actually have now?
We'll be right back.
You're listening to American Ground Radio.
Ronald Reagan once asked, are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents in the long history of the world? Well, that's why we made this CD. Freedom Sings is a collection of songs from America's history. Each one tells a story from our founding up till today. Not only do we include classics like America the Beautiful and This Land is Your Land, but we also tell the stories behind the songs, who wrote them and why, and what they mean to everyday Americans when they first heard these patriotic tunes.
Mine eyes have seen the glory.
If you want your kids to know what America represents in the long history of the world, then you need to get Freedom Sings. Just look for it in the iTunes store and download it for your computer or mobile device. Get Freedom Sings for your kids and keep liberty marching on for the next generation.
The Conservative Kid Growth Kit, a fun, patriotic adventure for children ages 5 and up. Journey back to America with the entire family with the Growth Kit travel suitcase, including presidential tumbler, a Teddy Roosevelt teddy bear, and exclusive Founding Fathers flashcards that introduce the words of the Founding Fathers. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit is the perfect gift. Fun, educational, and endless activities. Preserve our freedoms for the next generation. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit at conservativekid.com.
Maybe it was that fourth grade teacher who believed in you. Or the big-eyed girl who smiled when you were the new kid. Maybe it was watching your child as she took her first steps. Those aha moments in life when everything seemed to come into focus. Those are the bright spots that lift us up when we're feeling down and show us a path from the ordinary to the extraordinary. America's history is filled with bright spots, too. The greatness of America is that it allows each of us to see the greatness within ourselves. That is how America became great. One dream, one bright spot at a time.
Bright Spots Big Country, What Makes America Great by Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and BrightspotsBigCountry.com.
Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise.
And oh, was Benjamin Franklin wise.
So you actually think electricity can pass through metal? Ha! Ben Franklin, go fly a kite.
Excellent idea. Where are my keys?
Besides the bifocals, Ben invented the Franklin
Up
stone.
You go!
The odometer! And the lightning rod! Ingenuity, pass it on! From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com!
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. Stephen Paul with Louis R. Avalone.
I'm wondering how imminent this may be. Now, some may say this is a Freudian slip, perhaps. But I listen to this clip, and you tell me just how imminent what President Biden is saying may be.
Now, when President Harris and I took a virtual tour of a vaccination center in Arizona not long ago.
All right, play that again, because I don't know that everybody caught that at the beginning.
Now, when President Harris and I took...
President Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and he. Yeah, and they took a virtual tour, which means they sat in front of their computer and did a little Zoom meeting. But, okay, that's a virtual tour. President Harris, you're right. Now, look, I've said since really the last fall, last summer, that I don't think Joe Biden will resign until after the midterms. But I think he'll resign right after the midterms.
Well, 59% of Americans never believe, this was before the election, 59% of Americans did not believe that Joe Biden would finish his first term.
And that included a majority of Democrats who actually voted for him.
And look, you know what, a lot of folks may have said, or may be saying, where are the Republicans in all of this? Mm-hmm. Why aren't they moving to get him removed from office?
Because Harris is worse.
Biden is the only thing standing between us and full-on socialism.
And it's not because he opposes it. It's because he's not competent enough to push it through.
Right. Kamala's like a poison pill. I mean,
she would
it's
be
like,
awful.
I mean,
she would be awful. Let's get to a bright spot.
I'm doing all right, getting good grades. The future's so bright.
Well, there's a new survey out by OnePoll and Motivosity. They asked employees, what is it you look for in a boss? Okay, so we're trying to figure out what makes a good boss here. All right?
Sure.
Number one, a positive attitude. 46% of respondents said they want their boss to have a positive attitude.
Yeah,
you surprised by that?
No, not at all. Who wants to go to work where the guy leading the charge is like, I don't know if we can do this. Yeah. It's probably never going to work. I don't know if we can. Maybe we should just do something different.
That's Miss Deepler.
I mean, seriously. No, I'm serious. See, people want to follow a leader,
right?
Who knows the way, who shows the way, and who goes the way. You know, they don't want to follow someone that's just going to point a finger and say, "Go do this."
Okay. So here's what else they want. They want a boss that has good communication skills, 46%, and organizational skills too. Those are the things that positive attitude, good communication skills, good organizational skills. That's what makes a good boss.
And part of that is because when who you're working with, it's kind of like when you play tennis against someone that's really good, they make you a better player as well.
Sure.
And so when you're...
The Bible says iron sharpens iron.
There you go.
Right.
And so I think what folks realize is that when they're working with someone who is a good communicator, who clearly establishes what the expectations are and how we're going to get there,
yes,
that makes them better. It brings out the best in them.
So here's the next question. What do you want more of from your boss? If your boss would do something more.
More money.
That was not number one on the list.
Seriously.
Number one was feedback on my role. 53% of people said, I want more feedback from my boss on what my role is in this organization.
All right. And in all fairness, and I'm not poking fun or otherwise mocking anyone.
Right.
But a lot of times when folks say, I'd like a little feedback on my performance.
Right.
That's really code word for I'd like a raise.
But you know what's not? I don't think it's feedback on the performance. I think it's I want to make sure you're telling me that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
And if I am, I'd like a raise.
Well, that's number two on the list. More money. But number three is honest communication. So out of those top threes, I want the boss to be honest with me. I want the boss to use the communication to tell me what it is I'm supposed to be doing and make sure that I know my spot here. I know where I fit in and how I'm contributing to what's being done.
No, absolutely. And look, the discussion about money, it's a very serious one, and it's a very personal one.
Of course.
And it's an opportunity for a discussion about how you can increase your value to the organization. What are some things that you're doing? In other words, what are some of the most high-value activities that you're spending your time on, and which ones maybe aren't?
So here's what you want less of from your boss. Number one, fewer pointless meetings, 55%. Fewer pointless meetings. Number two, fewer last-minute emergencies. And number three, less micromanagement. So to be a good boss, you need to come in with a positive attitude. You need to communicate to your employers honestly what their role is in the company. You need to make it clear and then let them do their jobs. Once you tell them what you expect, once you show them the way, let them do it. Expect that they'll do it. That will cut down on pointless meetings and micromanagement.
Well, and you said the lack of last minute changes, emergencies, et cetera.
Exactly.
It goes back to that old adage that a lack of planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. And part of that is that when you do that, when you fail to plan
as a boss,
and then you ask someone to stay late or to take on extra responsibilities, very frankly, they feel disrespected.
Absolutely. So, do you think the same thing applies to our elected leaders? Now, they're not our bosses, but don't we want some of the same things? We want them to have a positive attitude. We want them to communicate to us honestly and openly about what's going on. We want them to let us keep more of our money, stay out of our business, spend your time preventing and limiting crises from happening. Isn't that what we want?
Yeah, I'd like them to get something done.
Yeah.
I mean, like a boss.
So maybe we should give them more honest feedback about what we want them to get done.
Maybe so.
Hmm. Coming up next, got a moment of woe. Stick around.
If you're not listening in, you're missing out. American Ground Radio with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
Maybe it was that fourth grade teacher who believed in you. Or the big-eyed girl who smiled when you were the new kid. Maybe it was watching your child as she took her first steps. Those aha moments in life when everything seemed to come into focus. Those are the bright spots that lift us up when we're feeling down and show us a path from the ordinary to the extraordinary. America's history is filled with bright spots, too. The greatness of America is that it allows each of us to see the greatness within ourselves. That is how America became great. One dream, one bright spot at a time.
Bright Spots Big Country, What Makes America Great by Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, and BrightSpotsBigCountry.com.
Hey, it's Jeff Cruer for New York Pizza, the oldest pizza parlor in the city, opened by Wayne Del Corral in 1980. They're celebrating 40 years of the best pizza in the city. Their pizza is thin like New York-style pizza, but they use a French-style dough to bring a New Orleans flair that you'll never forget. You've got to try the Snooey Bread, a delicious appetizer on a 5-inch seeded bun with mozzarella, Swiss, sliced Roma tomatoes, and oregano. The Big Apple is my personal favorite. A pizza with pepperoni, bacon, mushrooms, olives, green peppers, Italian sausage, and minced garlic. Unforgettable. Wayne is a New Orleanian, born and raised in the city, Jesuit UNO, and Loyola grad. He operates New York Pizza and the adjacent Bronx Bar with his family. Go check him out at 4416 18 Magazine Street in New Orleans, or call them at 891-2376. And if you mention Ringside Politics or Jeff Cruer, you get a 10% discount.
9,997. No, no, no.
Suppose Thomas Edison had given up.
9,998. But his failures only led him to the next idea.
9,999?
Picture Times Square, dim, Las Vegas, dark, your home, black. Picture no electric light.
10,000. Come on.
Optimism. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
The Conservative Kid Growth Kit, a fun, patriotic adventure for children ages 5 and up. Journey back to America with the entire family with the Growth Kit travel suitcase, including presidential tumbler, a Teddy Roosevelt teddy bear, and exclusive Founding Fathers flashcards that introduce the words of the Founding Fathers. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit is the perfect gift. Fun, educational, and endless activities. Preserve our freedoms for the next generation. The Conservative Kid Growth Kit at conservativekid.com.
Welcome back to American Ground Radio. I'm Stephen Paul with Louis R. Avalone.
I mean, it's just so hypocritical. If you're going to take a position, then you ought to be, you ought to walk the walk.
Sure.
If you're going to talk the talk, you ought to walk the walk. So Bernie Sanders was paid, what, millions of dollars for his book.
Yes.
You remember? He's got like two houses.
Yeah.
He's got like a mini yacht. Yeah.
He wasn't a millionaire when he entered
Congress.
He is now.
So let's just say he made $5 million off of the publication of his memoir.
All right.
Now, how many times is that the average American's annual earnings?
About 100 times.
Okay. Well, he wants to tax any corporation who, an extra tax, if you pay your CEO more than 50 times the median worker. But yet it's okay for him to make 100 times what the average American makes in a year for his book. Shouldn't he pay an extra tax as well?
Well, and by
because that's where we're going.
By the way,
we?
Since he's proposing the tax, he should go ahead and pay that voluntarily. You're allowed to pay more tax.
Oh,
than
yeah,
you
they'll
owe.
Take it.
He should pay that voluntarily to set a good example.
Well, they might say,
"Whoa."
Oh, wow! When I say whoa, I mean whoa.
Ryan Lowry has autism, but he's working hard to make sure that doesn't hold him back. So Ryan's dad, Rob, helped him set up a LinkedIn profile page. And as the site was being set up, Ryan wrote a handwritten cover letter. It read, quote, "Dear future employer, my name is Ryan Lowry. I'm 19 years old. I live in Leesburg, Virginia, and I have autism. I also have a unique sense of humor, am gifted at math, really good with technology, and a quick learner. I'm interested in a job in animation or IT. I realize someone like you will have to take a chance on me. I don't learn like typical people do. I would need a mentor to teach me, but I learn quickly. Once you explain it, I get it. I promise that if you hire me and teach me, you'll be glad that you did. I will show up every day, do what you tell me to do, and work really hard." The letter was then posted to LinkedIn, where it went viral. Ryan has had more than 2,000 invitations to connect with other businesses and professors since then, and he's received phone calls from companies like Dell, Amazon, and Microsoft.
That's the best can-do attitude.
May your pursuit of happiness bring you joy.
Anytime, anywhere. Smartphone, tune in radio app, WGSO.com. On the AM dial at 990, we are WGSO New Orleans.